opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Well, the abortion convention is over, finally. I mean, the abortion convention. You may not know what I'm referring to. The abortion convention, i.e. the Democrat National Convention in Philadelphia, is over. Thank God. I refer to it as the abortion convention because it just seems to me that almost every speaker, and I didn't watch them all. I couldn't stomach it, but I have to watch some of them. Kind of like it's opposition research. I mean, that's what I got to do. It's part of the job. And so as I was watching the some of the Democrat National Convention, by the way, we were there, you know, in Philadelphia, but at night, I could watch some of it. It seemed like the abortion convention because we had NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League. We had Emily's List, Planned Parenthood, National Abortion Federation, all these other groups up there speaking, some of them in prime time. And it just seemed like it was a theme, that along with homosexual marriage and LGBT rights. So the abortion convention is over, thank God, because it was torture. And then right on the heels of that, Hillary Clinton comes to Columbus for a campaign stop at Fort Hays Educational Center. And yours truly, as a private citizen, attended that as well. Like, I didn't get enough of it. You know, I needed a little bit more pain. Again, doing opposition research, went to her campaign rally to kind of check it out, see what's going on with it. And it was interesting. You know, her and her vice presidential candidate, Tim Kaine, were traveling by bus throughout the Midwest, stopped in Columbus, and, you know, I couldn't count everyone, but there was probably around 2,000 people there, which is, you know, honestly, I can't think that that was a very good number for them. And it made me, you know, and I've been hearing and reading about, of course, Trump was there the next day. I've been reading and hearing about the numbers and whether, you know, Trump's events are being attended to in greater numbers than Hillary's and all that, and it just appears that they are. But if this race will be determined based on the numbers coming to their events, then I think Hillary Clinton's in trouble. Just my own personal observation. I don't, you know, as the leader of Created Equal, don't have a dog in this hunt per se because we don't support or oppose candidates, but it just appears the energy is not on her side. I mean, she's old news. 30 years of the Clintons, you would think, you know, we're tired of her. And maybe that's starting to show. It's Hillary fatigue. I don't know. But anyway, when I was there doing a little bit of opposition research at the Hillary Clinton event on Sunday, this past Sunday, and I will be announcing here soon, a project that we are going to launch, and I say we, that's me as a private citizen, not as the national director of Create Equal. And I know it pains me to have to go through this every time, but I have to because the IRS is very strict in their rules as to what a nonprofit organization can and cannot do. And we cannot and will not oppose or support candidates. But myself, private citizen as Mark Harrington, I'm free to do anything I choose. And so as a private citizen, there is something we are going to do with the Hillary campaign as they travel Ohio and the nation. So we'll announce that later on, and we're working on that as we speak here. So the other thing is, as this election gets closer now to down to less than 100 days, We are going to use this opportunity as a platform to reach people on the issue of child killing. Every 4 years, we get this opportunity to educate the American people. And we're going to do that in different cities in key states like Ohio, like Pennsylvania, like Florida. And I'm going to be announcing a project soon, which is talking about voting anti-abortion. I don't say, by the way, I don't use pro-life very much anymore because I think the word has lost all its meaning. That phrase has virtually lost all its meaning because people that say they're pro-life today are really pro-choice. They say, I'm pro-life for myself, but I wouldn't tell a woman she can't have an abortion. Well, that's not pro-life. That's pro-choice. So the word or phrase, words, pro-life, have lost most of its meaning. That's why I often will use, and sometimes interchangeably, the phrase or the words anti-abortion. I think that that is more descriptive of our position. We are against abortion, and it uses the word abortion. So we are going to be launching a campaign to educate voters to vote anti-abortion. We'll be talking about that in the coming days and weeks ahead before November 8th. But before we do get into some of that election stuff, there was one thing that really struck my eye, and I think that, as I mentioned, that this abortion convention, the Democrat National Convention being basically an abortion convention, the president of the National Abortion Rights Action League, her name is Elise Hoag, spoke at the abortion convention. That is the Democrat National Convention, the DNC in Philly. And when she did, she spoke about her abortion, how she had had an abortion. And, okay, that's all fine and good, I guess. Most or many leaders on the abortion side of the equation are post-abortive. Cecile Richards, Planned Parenthood's president, has had an abortion. Many of these individual women have had abortions. And that's, most people would think, well, that makes sense. But Elise Hoag got up there, and she spoke to the convention about her abortion. And this is what she said.
To succeed in life, all we need are the tools, the trust, and the chance to chart our own path. I was fortunate enough to have these things when I found out I was pregnant years ago.
Found out. How do you find out you're pregnant? I mean, let's see. It's not like an accident. You had sex. And if you had sex, you know the chances are, meh. You know, especially if it's unprotected or it's failed birth control, that you might get pregnant. It's not like, ding, you know, you got an email. Oh, you're pregnant. You're pregnant. She found out.
I wanted a family, but it was the wrong time.
I got news for her. And listen, I don't want to be uncompassionate towards this woman. She wanted a family. She started a family when she got pregnant. It's just one of her family members is no longer around.
I made the decision that was best for me.
Well, there's no question about that. Women who abort are thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about the baby. They're clearly thinking about themselves.
To have an abortion and get compassionate care at a clinic in my own community. Now,
listen to that.
Later,
they're cheering. This is almost breathtaking. They're cheering her abortion. Like this is some great thing that happened to her. Empowering. What a wonderful thing. Yay, she had the abortion. The Democrat National Convention cheers Elise Hoag's abortion. And she called it compassionate care. Is it really? I'm certainly not compassionate to that baby they dismembered.
Husband and I are parents to two incredible children.
By the way, they're parents to two born children. And I don't know if her husband is the father of the aborted baby, but she is also a parent to a third child, whether it was with her husband or with someone else. That child just happens to be dead.
My story is not unique. About 1 in 3 American women have abortions by the age of 45.
Well, my question is, okay, if it's not unique, does that make it right? So 1 out of 3 women have abortions. Just because 33% of the American female population has abortions before they're, you know, out of their age of fertility, doesn't make it right. Be like saying 1 out of 3 Americans rob banks, and somehow that's now that makes it okay.
And the majority are mothers just trying to take care of the families they already have.
They already have. That means the born ones. See, the unborn ones don't matter. The ones that are born, they matter only. So how is it compassionate to kill the children that they can't take care of? If that's the case, then let's start killing born children who are living on welfare, who are not being taken care of correctly from their parents, who live in poverty. I mean, it's a solution to those problems. It's just a violent one.
You see, it's not as simple as bad girls get abortions and good girls have families.
Well, I got an answer for you there. Not all good girls just have families. Good girls have abortions, too. They would consider themselves good. Many, and I will just say, you know this, many are led to believe that this is the best option for them. They've been pressured. They've been coerced by their partner, if they are unmarried, or their husband, or family members, or others that come in and say, you must do this, you need to do this, it's best for you. So there's a lot of pressure on women to make a decision to kill their babies. But this idea that only bad women have abortions is a caricature that's untrue. I mean, because women make decisions to kill their children every day, and some of them are church-going, and I'm going to talk about that in a second.
We are the same women at different times in our lives, each making decisions that are best for us.
That's for sure. They're best for the women. There is no doubt. The baby doesn't exist in the minds of women who have abortions. That's true. That is absolutely true.
We want families to succeed. We start by empowering women. Give us accurate information.
By the way, how is abortion empowering a woman? In other words, you can't be empowered. You can't participate equally in American society, equally with men, unless you can kill your baby. How is that true? What about the distinctions between male and female? I mean, God made us different. I mean, we're equal, but we have different roles, different places. We are different in many ways. And one difference is women have been given the blessing of being able to have children. And what women, many, unfortunately, don't want, they don't want to be saddled with that. They want to be equal with men, and that means that they have to have the right to kill their baby, and that makes them more empowered to participate in American culture. I mean, it's a sickening twist of feminism or equality between men and women. Let's embrace the differences because they're God-given. A woman has been given the beauty and opportunity to have children. That's a wonderful thing. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show. You're a radio activist. Stick around.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute.
Created Equal is about changing this culture, and that's what we have to do if we are going to win this fight. And Mark and Seth and the others on the team of Created Equal are doing just that. And I am happy to endorse their work. Glad to call them fellow companions in this fight for the life of the unborn, and I certainly hope you will support and work with them as they work on reforming this culture so that it has an appreciation for human life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net. Or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio, 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
I couldn't interrupt that. It just makes you kind of move in your seat, doesn't it? Anytime this abortion talk, and when you start looking at the world and everything's upside down and crazy and hard to figure out, which it seems like we have got it in spades this election cycle, turn to some heavy metal music. That'll help you out. Does me anyway. So we're talking about this Elise Hoag at the National Abortion Rights Action League speaking at the abortion convention in Philadelphia. I mean the Democrat National Convention. Which would have been mistaken for the abortion convention, the child-killing convention, the dismemberment convention. I don't know if you got a chance to watch some of that, but it was a lot about dismembering babies, although that's not what they mentioned. They talked about women's rights and how they had to be empowered by killing their babies. But what this really brings to the fore is, and this is kind of an insider speaking, and that is, if we focus on women only, if the pro-life movement says abortion harms women, and that's the reason why it should be outlawed, or it's a bad idea, or it's immoral, we will lose. And we will lose because the other side's going to get up and say what Elise Hoag just said, and that is, abortion's the best thing that ever happened to me. The only way we win. That doesn't mean we don't have conversation. We don't talk about women's, that it does harm women. But here's why it harms women. Abortion harms women because abortion kills a child. And because abortion kills a child, it harms a woman. Because it's unnatural. It's not natural for a woman to have a man, or generally a man, an abortionist, go in there with instruments and dismember the child within their womb. It just isn't. And of course there's going to be harm done emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. Of course. So it harms women because it kills babies. It just doesn't harm women because it's a surgical procedure that's uncomfortable. No. It's because it kills the baby. And because it kills the baby, the woman has to deal with that issue of guilt and shame. And that's why... By the way, when you're watching Elise Hoag, if you go to YouTube and listen and watch this video, you will see her face is very pained in talking about this. She may act and describe this as the best thing that ever happened to her, but her countenance, her facial expressions, her body language speak otherwise. That's for sure. Many women get up and talk about their abortions in a positive light because they are trying to cope with the guilt and shame that they carry with them, because we're made in the image of God and we have a God consciousness, right? Our conscience tells us that aborting a child is wrong, and we cope with that in different ways. Many people just go into denial. They live in the shadows. They don't talk about it, and others come out in the open and talk about it so that others will join them in that crusade, which makes them feel better about what they've done. So when she's the leader of the National Abortion Rights Action League, in many ways, if she keeps this crusade going about how it's a great idea, or it's a good thing to kill your child by abortion because it empowers you, that continues to help her deal with her own issues of guilt. So that's the psychology behind what I think this promotion of abortion from women like Elise Hoag, who gets up there and basically shouts her abortion before the country. Having said that, there is an article that I read here in Refinery29. This is just a blog online. It's about a Christian, so-called Christian abortionist, Sarah Wallet. And she talks about in this article in Refinery29 about how she's inspired by her Christian faith to commit abortions. Now, first of all, let's not get into the question of whether she's a Christian believer or not. I don't know her heart. It's hard to imagine that an abortionist would kill babies and call themselves a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't see how those two come together. However, there are a lot of pro-choice Christians listening to the sound of my voice today, probably. It's not like this litmus test, like salvation by faith alone. You know, you come to Christ at the cross, and you have to repent of your sins and receive Jesus. It's not dogma. It's not part of, you know, what you need to become a Christian. But anyone who's a Christian for any period of time, I would hope, would understand that killing a baby is against God's word, right? Thou shall not shed innocent blood. And there's many scriptures that go along with that. Anyway, she gets on this article, and she talks about her so-called Christian faith and why that leads her to commit abortions. And this is what she says, and I quote, she was raised in a Christian home in Lexington, South Carolina. My family went to church regularly, said prayers before meals, and I was taught from childhood that it was my duty to help people in need and leave the world a better place than I found it. The patients, of course, not talking about the babies, although they should be treated as patients. The patients I see every day are so clearly people in need. Well, that's true. They are. They're born. She sees them in front of them. The child themselves are pushed to the recesses of her mind and the woman's mind during the abortion. The patients I see every day are so clearly people in need, and the medical care, i.e., abortion, I provide them is both life-changing, that's for certain, kills the baby, that's life-changing, and in many ways, in circumstances, life-saving. Certainly not life-saving for that baby, who's now dead. The compassion and empathy I learned from my Christian faith are fundamental to my work. This is the twisted thinking that we have in our country. That you can hold these two things together. You can be a so-called Christian believer and believe that it's okay to dismantle, to dismember, to decapitate a human being created in the image of God. It's just from conception. The Bible says that he formed me in my mother's womb. That's Jeremiah chapter 1. Psalm 139, right? That I've been knit together in my mother's womb. This is the killing of an innocent human being, which is in violation of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not shed innocent blood. Yet this woman, this abortionist, claims Christ and says this is the reason why she does what she does. And it goes on, too often, women who choose to have an abortion face significant stigma and shame. Well, why is that? Is that just because there's meanies like me out there who stand in front of abortion mills and tell women that they shouldn't kill their child? Or is it just because most human beings would come to the conclusion that killing another human being is a bad idea and you're going to live with shame if you do it? See, it has little to do with folks like myself that point out abortion's murder, and it has most to do with the fact that we are just made with a conscience. We are given a kind of an inward moral code, if you will, that's been imprinted on our hearts by God. And when we kill someone, we're going to be feeling bad about it. Patients, she says, patients have to walk by protesters screaming, murderer, and much worse, just to get inside my clinic. One patient, a mother of four, couldn't stop telling me why she was getting an abortion, clearly feeling as though she needed to explain herself. Well, she should. To me, after walking by the protester. See, we're blaming the messenger rather than the message itself. Folks, we live in perilous times where we're one of the major political parties in our country holds a convention that's almost entirely about child killing, parades it and shouts it, and everyone cheers. And then we have an abortionist who claims Christ and says she kills babies because of her Christian faith. There's so much deception out there, folks. Go to your scriptures, read it for yourself, and stand for truth in the public square. We need you to defend the preborn. We need you to defend liberty and justice for all, because time is running out on our country. Stand for the truth and stand with us at Created Equal. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America.
To bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington,
your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal.
For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net.
createdequal.net.
Be sure to tune to the Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders
in the culture war.